Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.
Earlier in the week, Pope Benedict XVI met with men and women religious who have consecrated their entire lives to serving God and the Church, to live like St. Paul, for, with, and in Christ.
Paolo vive per, con e in Cristo.
He did so on February the 2nd, following a Mass marking the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, on this day dedicated to consecrated life. During his homily on this occasion, the Pope referred to St. Paul, stressing how he represents a model of living for all Christians, especially for those who have taken vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And mentioning this Pauline year, he encouraged religious to welcome the witness of St. Paul, meditating every day on the Word of God, and fulfilling their apostolic service in and with the Church in a spirit of unreserved communion, allowing their charism to be a gift for others, and a witness to the fact that the greatest charism is love. When I heard the Pope highlighting this Pauline year, it dawned on me that listeners might enjoy a programme from our archives telling the story of the conversion of this Apostle of the Gentiles on the road to Damascus. It's presented by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett. Do stay tuned.
As I made my journey and drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And when I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus.
St. Luke continues the story in the Acts of the Apostles.
The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless, for though they heard the voice, they could see no one. Saul got up from the ground, but even with his eyes wide open, he could see nothing at all, and they had to lead him into Damascus by the hand. For 3 days he was without his sight, and took neither food nor drink.
It's at this point that a Christian called Ananias, living in Damascus, comes on the scene. That night the Lord appeared to him in a vision.
Ananias heard the Lord call him. When he replied, Here I am, Lord, the Lord said, You must go to Straight Street and ask at the house of Judas for someone called Saul, who comes from Tarsus. At this moment he is praying, having had a vision of a man called Ananias coming in and laying hands on him to give him back his sight. When he heard that, Ananias said, Lord, several people have told me about this man and all the harm he has been doing to your saints in Jerusalem. He has only come here because he holds a warrant from the chief priests to arrest everybody who invokes your name. The Lord replied, You must go all the same, because this man is my chosen instrument to bring my name before pagans and pagan kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he himself must suffer for my name.
And that decided Ananias. He went to the house in Straight Street, as Paul himself recounts.
Someone called Ananias, a devout follower of the law and highly thought of by all the Jews living there, came to see me. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. Instantly my sight came back, and I was able to see him. Then he said, The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the Just One and to hear his own voice speaking, because you are to be his witness before all mankind, testifying to what you have seen and heard. And now, why delay? It is time you were baptized and had your sins washed away while invoking his name.
Immediately, it was as though scales fell away from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. So he was baptized there and then, and after taking some food, he regained his strength.
Paul stayed some days with Ananias and the other Christians in Damascus, proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues to the amazement of all. Soon the Jews were plotting to kill him, but the disciples lowered him down over the wall in a basket, and Paul set off alone for the desert. He stayed there for 3 years, and then returned to Jerusalem. He was ready to begin his mission. But he'd not been there long when the Lord appeared to him again.
When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance, and then I saw him. "Hurry," he said, "leave Jerusalem at once. They will not accept the testimony you are giving about me." "Lord," I answered, "it is because they know that I used to go from synagogue to synagogue, imprisoning and flogging those who believed in you, and that when the blood of your witness, Stephen, was being shed, I was standing by in full agreement with his murderers and minding their clothes." Then he said to me, "Go, I am sending you out to the pagans far away."
Paul's life from then on was a series of missionary journeys over Western Asia Minor and Greece. He was in constant danger, as he himself wrote, from robbers, from his own nation, from the Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, from false brethren, in labor and painfulness, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, imprisoned, and at the end beheaded in Rome, about the same time as St. Peter was crucified.
But he never faltered. He was as single-minded in his service of Christ, with complete disregard for the cost to himself. When on trial before King Agrippa in Jerusalem, he told once again the story of his conversion, and this time quoted the words spoken to him on that occasion long ago, on the road to Damascus.
"And the Lord said, 'I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and bear witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles, to whom I send you to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. And so I have stood firm to this day, testifying to great and small alike, that the Christ was to suffer, and that as the first to rise from the dead, he was to proclaim that light now shone for our people and for the pagans too."
Our thanks there go to Jill Bevilacqua for yet another moving programme, and of course to Sean Patrick Lovett for the production work. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.